LinkedIn right now is like the Wild West. It's like Facebook back in 2012 from a content perspective. So followers, connections, you know, I guess time will tell the value of what those followers are based on organic reach and engagement. But right now it's really good.
Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Jeffrey.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. This is Sell or Die. It is the greatest podcast on the face of the earth. If you're into selling or personal development, this will put money in your wallet.
Hello, diehard. Welcome to another episode of Sell or Die, where we have over 2 million downloads because of you. Thank you for listening. We are excited today. We have an amazing guest.
His name is Dennis Brown, and he's going to share with you what you really need to do on LinkedIn. Because right now you have 750 or 1,250 connections and you don't do shit with them. And we're going to tell you how to turn shit into gold.
So if you've ever wondered how to use LinkedIn for business development or to make more sales or to
this
make better connections.
It. This guy, he's got eight years of history.
That's right. Listen to this episode. Dennis Brown is the author of The 7 Habits of Highly Successful LinkedIn Users. He's built three multi-million dollar companies, one of which has been ranked by Inc. magazine on their coveted Inc. 500 Fastest Growing Company list. Damn. Ooh. A former social media naysayer, Dennis changed his tune when he landed his first six-figure client on LinkedIn. Over the past 8 years, he's developed his LinkedIn marketing and social selling systems, and he now helps entrepreneurs, consultants, speakers, and sales teams to leverage LinkedIn and social selling to generate highly targeted leads, customers, and profits. Woo!
Yeah, love it. Woo!
So of the
welcome to our show, Dennis.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you, Jen.
Of the jillions of people that use LinkedIn, how many use it correctly?
You got to go there right away, right out of the gate.
Well,
right out of the gate.
I ask my clients in an audience of 500 people, how many of you have more than 500 connections, and more than half the audience will raise their hand. And I'll say, well, keep your hand up if you use LinkedIn on pretty much on a daily or weekly basis to build your business. And every hand goes down.
Yeah. It depends on the audience. So as a whole, it's growing, but still small. Using it effectively or just using it, right? So there's people that are using it casually. They might log in once a week, once a month, once a quarter. Those are people that, you know, typically are not in and around either recruiting, sales, marketing, those areas. The people that are attracted to it are typically more small business, small to medium-sized business that are in the sales, marketing realm and space, because obviously they're out there turning over stones, trying to develop relationships, networking, making connections, publishing content, doing things of that nature. So those, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So it's a lot more dense in that area. But I will tell you this, in the last 2 or 3 years, just I guess in my own ecosystem or in my own mind or in my own world here on LinkedIn, is that I see a lot more people engaging in the platform. It's become more of a content distribution platform than previously, where only the big influencers like Richard Branson and those guys could make any noise. Now you can take an average person, they can get 5,000, 10,000, 100,000 views on their content. So that's attractive, that's sexy. And so I think it's bringing a lot of the people in. And of course that makes it noisier, but at the same time, it makes it a good place to, you know, to develop some relationships.
So when you say engaging, is there a right way and a wrong way to engage?
Oh yeah, for sure, right? I mean, any engagement on social is good, but the right way and wrong way, if you're the creator of content or if you're the person who's doing outreach, obviously engagement, you know, the key to engagement there is to try to position yourself so you're not that pitchy sales guy, car salesman who's beating people over the head with their pitch, right? So I mean, you want to position it in such a way that's just a little softer, a little bit more palatable, a little bit more relevant, a little bit more contextual to whoever the audience is. And on the other side, when you're engaging with content, you know, I think that having real conversations in the you know, in the comments section of a post or through LinkedIn Messenger. I think there's a lot of value that happens. I've had some really great conversations that have led, you know, digital conversations that have led offline that started through just a really good question or an observation or just an interesting, you know, take on a piece of content that I've been able to pivot offline and other people have been able to engage me offline. So I think any engagement is better than no engagement, but there is a right and wrong way.
How many times a week do you post?
I post new content. I probably post new content on average 3 times a week, but I've been slacking a little bit. So I've taken a little bit more of the approach of quality over quantity. I don't want to water it down too much. But I think posting once a day is ideal. You definitely don't want to do more than that, in my opinion, on LinkedIn, especially if you're just more LinkedIn updates. So I should be doing 5, but I'm probably doing 3 or 4.
And how many people visit your profile weekly?
Visit my profile. People that visit my profile. I don't have an accurate number on that right now, but probably.
Sends that to you, don't they?
Well, you got to check it. And I'm not really in there, but if I had to guess, if I had to guess just from past history, it's probably somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 people a month or over a 90 day period. So they do it over a 90 day period. That's how they give you the statistic.
So there's this guy, I'm not going to say his name. It's not you.
It rhymes with douchebag though.
And
I like him.
He has a particular posting method and I'd like to know what you think of it. So he takes something that, for example, I've said, like a quote or something, and then he puts it out to his audience and he tags, I don't know if he knows these people because I've been tagged in some of them and he and I are not connected at all. But he says, do you agree with Jennifer Gittimer that, and then like the quote, and he gets like so much engagement because he's tagging these influencers and he's put my quote out there. And it kind of pisses me off, I'll be honest, because like, I don't really care if you agree what I said, but comment on my post, don't take my post and use it to like gain popularity. And I feel like he's an online taker, if that's such a thing. And so I'd like to know what your opinion is on this
now
strategy.
Now that we've given you our graphic.
Yeah, now
opinion.
That I've told you how much I hate it, but right. You can tell me you love it. I'm all ears.
Yeah, I can tell you're related. By the way, just based on your commentary, so that's perfect, and I love that because that's right up my alley. So that's okay. So first of all, I know who you're talking about, but he will remain nameless because
he has two first names.
Yes. So here's the thing: what he does is he curates. My take on it is that he's not a great content creator, but he's learned a mechanism for curating and taking other people's content and leveraging it. So the value is, you know, he is sharing your message with a lot of people. So people are seeing your message because he doesn't steal it. He doesn't.
Right. He does acknowledge it.
He acknowledges that's true.
He does that. He
kudos for that.
So kudos for that. If he did it any other way, then I would say, you know, like you said, douchebag, totally not the guy you want to talk to or model. Right.
But he's actually a nice guy.
Yeah, he is a nice guy. I know him personally, and he's what he's done. The challenge is, I think, and I've even challenged him on this. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've even challenged him on it, had this conversation, and that is tagging the same influencers over and over and over and over day by day. What you're going to do is you're going to wear out those relationships, right? You're going to, you know, you have to, it has to be when you're tagging people, when you're drawing people into a conversation that aren't part of the normal conversation, right? You've got to be very careful how you do that because number one, it has to be super relevant to them.
Right. Relevance is the key word, Dennis.
Relevant is, yeah. And then you also can't overuse it. I mean, Jeffrey, I mean, if I tagged you on every piece of content that I put out there, you would eventually just start ignoring me.
Well, that's the thing.
No, that's what I've done. That's exactly what I've done. I ignore it now.
Yeah. And that's the exact opposite effect you want to get, particularly from people that you want to collaborate with or influencers or have a relationship with. I mean,
let's go back to relevance.
Yeah.
If it's not relevant to the person you tagged, then what's the point? And at number one and number two, I coach people that if you quote somebody else, you also quote yourself. And that way, you know, Jen feels this way about it, but I feel this way about it. or I agree with this, but he's not including himself. He's only looking at himself as a middle guy.
So there was like a whole war about one of my posts, which was kind of interesting to see people like, no, she's so wrong. Da, da, da. No, she's so right. Da, da, you know, and I'm just like sitting on the sidelines, like watching this war happen. And people get really passionate about that kind of shit. It's a little nuts. But I think the thing that annoys me about it is that he's tagging me in stuff and he's using my stuff, even though contributing to me, but he hasn't reached out to have a relationship with me. He hasn't connected with me. We're not first connections. So how
important... But he has with Jeffrey.
So what?
Yeah.
I'm Jeffrey's wife.
Don't take it the wrong way. Don't take it the wrong way. But my point was, is that that's a really good point that you bring up. And Jen is, and that is, he uses that as a strategy to develop relationships with influencers by drawing them in, using their content and engaging them. And it's that can be a great strategy for developing a starting point or an entry point to a relationship with an influencer in your industry. Say, for example, you have a podcast or you have a video show or you've got a great blog or you've got just a great following in some social media format. It's a great way for him to provide some value to you and to provide a contextual entry. The problem I think he has is he overuses it.
But how long would it take him to monetize that? Because in the LinkedIn business world, you're looking to monetize at some point.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you can build all you want, but at some point you have to pay your rent. And so how long would it take that kind of scenario to turn into money?
It depends. It depends on the value that he's providing his target market and how good he is in a variety of areas. So I'll give you an example. And the only reason why I know this number is because I did a case study on it and I was really diving deep to try to understand it. When content started becoming more popular on LinkedIn in and around 2018, I started publishing really regular content. And my goal was to drive inbound leads, right? Mm-hmm. I had an outreach system and I was developing relationships and getting clients that way, but I wanted to develop inbound leads. I wanted to see if LinkedIn could be used for that. So I started publishing really relevant content to my target market. And in that one year, I generated over 2,500 inbound leads. Those are people that raised their hand and asked me for information about X. Okay. So lead can be can be argued what that exact means,
yeah.
but people have raised their hand. My definition, they've raised their hand and asked for more information about something that's relevant to me. So I think that the content along with the optimization of your profile and the work that you've done to build your personal brand before that, right? And to build your reputation before that all add up to what type of results you're going to get as far as monetization. And then of course, the true value you provide. You could be the greatest content creator in the world, but have a shitty value proposition on the back end and a horrible service and not get any clients.
So diehards, let me explain what's going on here for just a moment. What Dennis is saying is he posted content and whoever the reader was read all the way down to the last sentence of his post and then took action.
Well, actually, time out. Do you always put it at the end or do you sometimes embed it in the middle?
A lot of times mine are at the end. My call to actions are typically at the end. But there's another scenario to that too, right? So not only are they doing the call to action and then maybe commenting, mm-hmm. okay? But what happens is I get a lot of people, there's a lot of people that become leads. And what I noticed is a lot of people that didn't engage with the content still became leads because what happened was they looked at the content. They're what I call lurkers, right? They're the lurkers. They're the people that don't really engage a whole lot. They don't want to put their name out there. They don't want to talk a lot, but they like to consume and maybe they like your content. Then what happens is they visit your profile, send you a connection request, or if they're already a first level connection, message you. So what I found is that sometimes that they never even engaged, right? They never took the call to action. They never commented, but they did become an inbound lead. They sent me a question. They asked for a phone call, you know, whatever the case may be. So I think that, you know, there's two different groups. There's the people that are really comfortable with engaging on social. And I don't know what the ratios are, but I can tell you that there are a lot of lurkers that people don't understand. And here's where people get it wrong. They think the content's going to do the whole job, and it really doesn't. You have to have a compelling profile on the other side. If you don't have an image, if you don't have a good headline, if you don't have a good story, if you don't have other content, if you don't have recommendations and testimonials, if you haven't done the work there, then you can drive all the traffic to your profile that you want.
And your profile blows.
Right. Yeah, your profile blows, and you're going to get no results.
How do you get more than 30,000 connections?
You can't get more than 30,000 connections, but you can get more than 30,000 followers.
Jeffrey's asking for his own personal use. I think you're thinking that a connection is more valuable than a follower.
Well, the difference between connections and followers is really simple. Connections, first level connections, you can message.
Followers, you can't message?
You can't message because they're only followers. You will show up in their feed. You will show up in their feed as far as a social media feed. It's kind of like a like on a Facebook page. But the cool part is that the organic reach of content on LinkedIn right now is much better than LinkedIn right now is like the Wild West. It's like Facebook back in 2012 from a content perspective. So followers, connections, I guess time will tell the value of what those followers are based on organic reach and engagement. But right now it's really good.
This is a podcast, dun, 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 which means for a lot of you, you don't get a chance to see us. That's why you should follow us on Instagram. Personally, I'm at Jeffrey Gittimer. Jen is at Jen Gittimer.
We post pictures of our travel, behind the scenes, our dogs, our life. We ask interesting things in stories. If you DM us, we'll even respond.
No, we won't.
Well, you might not, but I respond to every single DM. And of course, we give you some more sales wisdom over there. So if you're not on Instagram, we just gave you one great reason to join. Follow us today, and you may even get a shout out on our next podcast. At Jeffrey Gittimer, at Jen Gittimer, we'll see you on the gram.
Wait a minute, the gram? Is that one of those words that if you're cool, you say the gram instead of Instagram?
Hell yeah. I mean, you could say like, we'll see you on Insta.
Oh yeah. I would say gram, you would say Insta, I say gram, you say tomato, I say tomato, and everyone has a great time when you follow us.
See you there. I want to go back to something you said before, which is you did this experiment to create inbound leads and you got 2,500 leads from that. Our listeners would love to get 2,500 leads that they cultivate in a year's time. Yep. So what's their fastest path to making that happen? What should they do right now?
Yeah, the fastest path, the first starting point we were just talking about. If your profile sucks, don't waste your time publishing content, okay? So you got to optimize your profile. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. There's tons of resources out there where people can learn the basics on how to optimize your profile. Have an image, have a header, have a good headline. That's 80% of it right there, okay?
Endorsements.
And recommendations are important. Yeah, recommendations are important for sure. From there, you got to start. If you want inbound leads, you've got to, number one, just like any other marketing effort, you have to identify who the target market is and you have to start creating relevant content to them, right? Now, that doesn't mean it has to intersect always with your product or your service. It's got to be relevant to them. I don't do sales training. I don't do anything in regards around sales a whole lot, really traditional sales like Jeff does, but it's important to him. And there's a whole bunch of other things that are important to him, right? He's a big Flyers fan. He's a big Eagles fan. He lives in Charlotte. So there's contextually relevant things that I can start posting and for someone like Jeff, right? So it needs to be relevant. So then you start creating that content. And you create consistent content over a series of time. And my theory is this: you're going to create three different buckets of content. I do educational, right? Inspirational, right? So educational, inspirational, and then inspiring, right? So I take educational, informational, inspiring, right? Those are kind of the three buckets that I look at. And sometimes things fall outside of those. But doing content every day, and then not only doing content every day that's relevant to your target audience, but you sometimes have to, not every post should have a call to action. Not every post should be geared towards lead gen. but you need to create some sort of a cadence where, you know, people are used to seeing your content, your profile is optimized, and that you're building that following. When I first started doing this back before 2018, started posting, my average post got 2 or 3 likes and maybe 1 comment. It was embarrassing. And the only reason why I was publishing that content was because I thought it was a checkbox that I needed to tick, right? Everything mm-hmm. for me at that time was really more outreach, right? And so once I started creating this content consistently, I went to, you know, getting hundreds of engagements and an average of over 10,000, you know, views per post. Now, those are all vanity metrics, right? The only thing that none of those cash at the bank and none of those pay your mortgage. And I get that, but reach has a value, you know, if you're reaching the right people. And that's the reason why I think I was able to generate that 2,500 inbound leads. Now in 2019, I didn't count, but I know it's more than that, right? So that's a high quality problem. So I want people to know that if you, and here, just so you guys know, I actually put together, and this would be something you guys could let me know if it makes sense to the audience. I created what's called the Ultimate Guide to Generating Inbound Leads with LinkedIn. And I took everything I learned from that case study, from that 1 year experiment, and I put it into a 22 page guide that anybody can get for free. So they could check that out. And again, we don't have time to really unpack that entire guide, because there's a lot in there, but I would be more than willing. Anybody can have that for free. It doesn't cost anything.
All right, we'll pop that link into the show notes. That'll be awesome. Talk to us about how you landed your first six-figure client on LinkedIn. I want to hear the story.
Yeah, so it's really funny because
we'll decide if it's funny or not, but go ahead.
It's funny, trust me.
Okay, go ahead.
So in 2008, I joined LinkedIn, but before that—
That's the same year I joined, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah, same year. And I got chided into doing it.
And so did I. So here's the funny thing. I was a total social media naysayer. I thought it was bullshit. I did not connect the dots between social and business. I thought it was a cool way to stay in touch with your family. My wife and I routinely got in arguments about Facebook and all the other crap that was out there at the time. And so a friend of mine sent me a connection request from college that I'd went to college with. He was a good friend of mine. So I looked at it. And when I saw the conversation, it just made sense. So I joined LinkedIn for two reasons. One, I was looking for a way to continue to grow my business. We were in a high growth business at the time. You know, my first year we did 1 million, then we did 3 million, then we did 6 million, then we did 12 million. And that rock gets really freaking heavy after a while, right? Yep. So you're looking for other ways to generate leads and revenue. And so partly I did it because I wanted it to work. But on the other side of the coin, I did it because I wanted to prove myself right that it was bullshit, right? I didn't want it to work because I was like, oh, I'm right, you're wrong, right? So of course, there's always that yin and yang.
Sounds like
me. I jumped on LinkedIn and I did everything wrong. I threw a whole bunch of shit up against the wall and a little bit stuck. And from that, I learned. And in the first 60 days, I got... You're going to die. And this is 100% truth. A guy from the Philadelphia area, right? We started having a conversation about a dialogue via LinkedIn Messenger about, oddly enough, about football. I live in Buffalo. He lives in Philly. The next thing you know, he said, hey, I'm sick of messaging back and forth. Why don't we jump on a quick phone call? And I said, sure. We jump on there. We bullshit for 15 minutes talking about everything that was important to him. 13 of the 15 minutes, we spent talking about how he got his job, what he hated about his job, his family, his hobbies, obviously football. So 13 minutes later, he felt obligated to say, so Dennis, tell me, you started this logistics company. What is this thing? What do you do? And so I gave him a 1 minute infomercial on exactly how I had helped someone that was very similar to him. Actually, it was a competitor of his. And at the end of that, I asked for permission. I said, listen, his name was Bill. I said, Bill, can I follow up with you in the next couple of weeks and have a conversation about how we may be able to help you? Would that be okay? And he said, sure, I'd love it. That'd be great. So I didn't follow up because I dropped the ball. And a month later, he called me and said, hey, Dennis, you remember me? It's Bill. I said, yeah, I remember you, Bill. He goes, well, listen, you do logistics, right? I said, yeah. He goes, well, I have a problem. And that led to my first six-figure client, which we had for over 6 years, that generated almost $1 million in revenue for my business.
Wow. And that's how
the whole thing stemmed. Now, you can call that luck. You can call that,
Come on.
Happenstance, whatever the case may be.
Nah.
But from there, I took I took the things that I learned that didn't work, and I took the things that I learned that did work, and I started deploying them in my business. I had no interest in creating a course or doing consulting or coaching. I had no vision of that. I was doing it to scratch my own itch, right? I had salespeople, I had marketing people in my organization. So I taught them, we created a system, taught them that system. And then over the next several years after that, before I sold the business, we generated over $20 million in annual recurring revenue, not one-time revenue, but annual recurring revenue for my B2B service company. And the platform for that was LinkedIn. So that's the long and short.
And so I'm assuming you're close to 30,000 on your profile.
I'm somewhere in the mid to high 20s.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah.
Jeffrey, they're vanity metrics.
No, they're not vanity.
He said it himself.
No, the vanity metrics are how many people view your video. Metrics, when you connect with somebody, they reached out to connect to you, and there's a possibility that they might buy from you.
I agree if you are doing something to cultivate that relationship. Just because they connect with you doesn't mean that, like, oh, now we're BFF, so I'm going to buy from you. That's not happens.
That's not what I was saying.
Okay.
My question to you, Dennis, is would you pay $1,000 to LinkedIn if they would let you go to 100,000?
Would I pay $1,000 if they let me have 100,000 first level connections?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how many other people do you think would do that? How many people are close to 30,000?
At least two.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm scared to accept people.
Well, back up. So you were shaking your head yes for the podcast viewers who can't see this. When I was talking about just because they connect with you doesn't mean they want to buy from you.
Right.
So talk to us about your feelings on that.
Okay, cool. I'm glad you picked up on that because this is really important. This is a tip that you can use that can literally start generating you business in the next week to 2 weeks if you use it. Everybody on LinkedIn gets connection requests, right? No matter how small you are, somebody finds you, you get a connection request. Yeah. The more popular you are, the more content you produce, the better the personal brand, the more connection requests you get. One of the most frustrating things to me is that when people get a connection request, they accept it, and then all of a sudden they just think that because they've accepted the connection request, that it's going to start raining money. And everybody's going to call me and the deals are just going to flow in. And man, I'm going to rock this thing. I'm going to be making millions next year because I've got X number of connections. And we all know that that's a recipe for disaster, right? Hope is not a winning strategy. I'm not the first one to say that, right? So here's what you do. This is so simple and so tactical. Anybody can do it. You ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So listen. When you accept somebody's connection request, send them a message afterwards thanking them, right? Thanking them and offer something unique, not salesy, not pitchy, but something unique. And you then now have an opportunity to actually start a dialogue. Is this like mind blowing? Like this is like the most innovative thing in the world.
So I mean, like So
you would send your ebook, offer your ebook.
I would send, hey, thanks. If it was you sent me a connection request, which I would love to be connected, by the way. So anyway, so send me a connection request. I would accept and I'd say, you know, we don't know, assuming we didn't know each other. Thank you so much, Jen, for accepting my connection request. Here's X, right? And it might be a link to my feed, might be a link to a piece of content that's relevant to you. It typically won't be my ebook because I think that's a little bit pitchy, right? Because I'm asking them to do something. I want to give, I don't want to ask. And then at that point, you know, if I can ever be of any help, let me know. And I include my contact information. Cheers, Dennis. That's it, right? That's
what about all the people that want to connect with you?
Well, she did connect. She sent me a connection request.
So he's saying he's pretending. I sent him a connection request. That's how he would respond.
I would respond to her after I accept the connection request. Because what happens is a large percentage of the time, I would tell you 20 to 30% of the time, Jen will reply back and either say, thanks, cool, great, ditto, thanks for accepting my connection. And that's the entry point to an actual conversation because connections, as Jen is saying, and I got to agree with her in some realm, connections don't always equate to conversations. And so, you know, there's this whole concept of, you know, content is king. And to a certain extent, I agree with that. But what I really think that's king is engagement and conversation. And so that is a simple way to start a dialogue. Now, the cool part is you don't have to do that with every single person that you accept the connection request to, but you know who you want to do it with? people that actually might want to buy your product.
But just understand this. They came to you because they felt that your content was relevant enough to want more of it.
Yes, but here's the interesting thing. Okay, so like on Instagram, the strategy that I use is to get them in the DMs. Get them to send me a direct message so that we can now have a one-on-one conversation. When someone connects with you on LinkedIn, it automatically creates this, like the messaging is already in the DMs. And so it's like freaking gold.
It is total gold. Jen, you are totally spot on. This conversation, the opportunity to start that conversation and the lack of people doing that is a huge missed opportunity. I'm not saying that if they don't respond to you, whatever, but what did it take you to do that? It took you 30 seconds, 15 seconds to do that. It's super simple, but you have to grease the wheel a little bit. You've got to create a situation where you start that dialogue.
No argument with me, but if you send out 360 messages to people and say, hey, thanks for connecting. For everyone that connects with me, I always offer them this. There's no strings or anything. It's just my way of creating a value proposition. And done. And you click on a link of your 58 best places to network or your 22 things that you don't want to throw up on.
Jeffrey is at the point where he just does it because it's like unconscious competence. What's the term? He doesn't even realize he's doing all the things. You know what I mean? But the average listener,
the average listener doesn't have content.
That is correct. But I also get all the time, well, I don't want to connect with strangers.
Oh, bullshit.
I don't know them. So like, why would I connect with them? Or they just accept the connection request. And what Dennis is saying is like, don't just accept it. That's surface level. That's like going to a networking event and seeing someone that you might want to work with and waving at them. He's saying, go over to them and start a conversation.
Yeah, good analogy, Jen. And I was going to say the same thing. Because Jeffrey does a lot of speaking, right? So he's on stage and he's got an audience of 500 or 1,000 or whatever it is.
50,000 is my normal size audience.
Yeah, 50,000. Okay, so yeah. 50,000. And those people are all listening to his message, and that's great. And a certain amount of them are going to buy his books or his services or whatever. But you're always going to have those people that come to the stage and want to meet you and have that conversation.
Yep.
And those are the people you're going to develop a real relationship with. And the people that are more likely, in my opinion, to engage with whatever offering you have, whatever that is. I can almost guarantee you those people that you've met on stage or next to stage have already bought your books or are going to buy the next book and are just waiting for it to come out.
Yeah, or they brought three in from home and they want them signed.
Look what happened when I talked to you at an event.
Yep, married her.
Boy, listen, let me tell you something. You definitely are out of your league there. You married up in a big way, no. Just like I did.
This has been awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on here. Our guests are going to all connect with you on LinkedIn by sending you a personalized message and letting you know that you heard Dennis on our show.
Yep, both of our audience's members will engage with you.
You guys don't
get at least two connection requests. Right?
Minimum.
Do not just request to connect. Make sure you let Dennis know your favorite thing or his best tip from this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Dennis Brown is a pretty plain name. You know, there's a couple of those out there.
Just a few.
It's slash ask Dennis Brown. Everywhere on social, I'm ask Dennis Brown.
We'll put it in the show notes as well so they can connect right with you.
Perfect.
When I meet somebody who's extraordinary and I put him in my contacts, I make their middle name fucking.
Dennis fucking Brown. That's perfect.
Boom.
Amazing. Now we know exactly who it is.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, no problem.
Hey, this was great. Thank you so much. You know, we've had a lot of LinkedIn experts on our show. Some stand out more than others. And Dennis is definitely one of those standout kind of guys that just gives
top
you
top two, and we can name the other one.
That gives you implementable actions that you can literally take right now when you stop driving or walking or whatever you're doing while you're listening to this podcast, but implementable actions that you should be doing every day on LinkedIn.
This is a person who has been there, done that, and banked the connections. And I think that you should not, I mean, listening to this episode is wonderful, but putting into action would be plentiful. And I want you to make certain that you take at least a half a dozen things away from this particular podcast and put it into your LinkedIn process. There's a couple of free things that we're put in the show notes.
Yeah, Dennis has given some free offers, so make sure you get them, download them. That's very generous of him.
But I'm going to tell you this, he's the real deal. We talk to a lot of people, and you know, I'm a 29,000 LinkedIn connection person myself. I'm telling you, he knows it, and he knows how to teach it so that you can use it and bank it.
Make sure that if you learn something from this episode, which I'm sure you did.
Yeah, that you might want to share this.
Screenshot it, share it. Tell us the best part of this episode for you. Make sure you tag us. Make sure you tag Dennis. You can screenshot it and share it on LinkedIn. You can share it on Instagram. We will be waiting to connect with you online.
And grateful.
Yes. Until next time, I'm Jen Gittimer.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, her secretary. And I'm challenging you to get out there and link something, even if your ass falls off.